Good morning and welcome to CJD. It's 9:05. My name is Tracy McKee in for Ken Connors, and Walter Assey is here for Renovco and to answer your home improvement questions. Good morning.
Good morning.
And, I always say that this is the best free advice in Montreal radio, absolutely. And if you have a question about any projects that you're working on, whether it be inside, outside, give us a call here at CJD on the Home Improvement Show, 514-790-0800. And judging by, I know where you live, Walter, maybe that sounds a little frightening, intimidating, but it's been a busy season, I would imagine, for you. There's a lot of construction going on out there in terms of homes, big
it's
homes.
It's a crazy season. It's yeah. a very, I mean, people are renovating, the values are up of the homes, and it's been great.
Yeah, I'm sure it has been. All right, let's get right to the lines. We've got Nadia on the line this morning. Good morning, Nadia. What is your question for Walter?
About brick pointing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. 4 years ago, a bricklayer did brick pointing for our house. And my husband told him to leave opening me in the last row, you know, to have air circulation. And last week, his friend told him it's no good because originally it was blocked while you're opening. It's bad for a wall. I don't know what to do.
Okay. That's a very good question. So what you're talking about are the vent holes at the bottom of the brick, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So typically, if they were not... you long time ago, they didn't used to do that, and you're right.
Yes.
And that was a mistake. So the building code gets updated because we find mistakes as the years go by, and we correct them by bringing in new technologies and new practices. So if you look at today's new bricks, like a newer homes, you would find openings every three bricks approximately. Yeah. And that should be prepared properly ahead of time. That will be the best case scenario, in the sense that behind those weeping halls, you will have a type of a flashing that slants towards the outside. So if any humidity or water accumulates in that area, what happens is that the water will flow nicely out rather than just stay on the foundation wall and find its way in. So it will be very hard for you to tell if the water is sitting there, if it's going to flow towards the inside or the outside, because we don't know what type of corrugation you have in those areas.
Yeah.
Having said that, it's not a bad idea to have them anyways, because that will release the humidity from your wall.
So it allows.
So even though that you don't have that flashing,
yes.
It's a good idea to have it. Uh-huh. Okay. At least it will levitate some of the pressure that is building up inside the wall, and that typically what you see in the older homes, you see what you call the ballooning on the bricks.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times it's due to that, and due to the fact that they didn't put mechanical anchors in those years either. So the other thing you need to do is make sure that you plug them with those grills. There's those rubber grills that you put. And that avoids you having any beehives or insects or anything that can crawl back in, because they are fairly big openings, okay? You're talking about 2-3 inches worth of openings. So things could get in those holes, and they're not very expensive. You can buy them at any hardware store. So you do the openings, you drill it, and then you put those grills in, and then you're good to go.
We have to buy that, or what to do to put it in, because the opening is not big, or only what's that is the brick, you know, what the pointing do. It's only that small opening. It's not big opening.
Correct. And these are very small grills.
Yeah, the small grills. Yeah, it's not big grills. That is opening. It's tiny. It's maybe, I don't know, a half an inch or something.
Correct. And there are grills that size, okay? And, you know, these are particularly made for weeping holes. It's actually made for that purpose. So they are made that size.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and let's say the opening is not large enough for it. All what you have to do is chisel more on the mortar in order to be able to plug it in.
To put it in?
Correct.
What they call the grills?
Yeah, just rubber grills for weeping holes. Any hardwood store would actually sell them. It's something that's very common.
To put it in?
Sorry?
To put it in those grills?
Okay, so what you have right now is not a grill. You have a hole.
Oh, what, oh, oh.
What you want to do is you want to plug it with those plastic drills or rubber drills.
There's a drill for a pointing bricks, right? Or to block it, right?
Okay, it's for the weeping holes at the bottom of the brick wall. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you very much for your advice.
Yes, Nadia, thank you very much for your call. We're going to go to Phil in Laval. Phil, hi, what's your question for Walter?
Yeah, hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I had, in 2007, I installed a new roof with the BP shingles, and of course, they're all defective now. And I have to redo it in September, and he suggested to use Eco shingles. Should I go back with the BP? Did they change the formula? Or is there another tile that you suggest I should use?
Okay, so it's a very good question. The good news for you is that all shingle companies or factories have actually changed their formula. So all shingles before used to be felt-based, and then they got so many claims. Felt was failing and degrading, and we had the big action lawsuit with BP. So everybody kind of re-evaluated their technologies. And I would say 99%, if not 100% of shingles nowadays are fiberglass based.
Okay.
Which is good news for you.
Right.
Because it's a much more proven type of a product. And it works extremely well with our weather conditions.
Okay. So every company has a different way of getting installed with the membrane and everything. But
Including BP, by the way. They actually... Okay. We're one of the pioneers to change that technology because they got hit extremely hard.
Okay, so would you be confident if I went back with BP that the shingles would be a lot better than what I had?
That is without a doubt. It's 100% guarantee that it would be much better. The guarantee right now, the fiberglass has been out for many years and it's been standing extremely well with our weather conditions. The only thing I would ask you to do, and I mean that's something that should be actually looked in. Shingles are like anything. You have different qualities and different age.
Right.
Okay, associated to that. So you have a 15-year, a 20-year, 25-year, even up to 50-year shingles. There are certain shingles that have a lifetime warranty. So you have to be doing that decision yourself in the sense that you can't buy a 15-year shingle guarantee or 15-year life shingle and expect your roof to last for 20, 25 years. It's made to last that long. And that's what you really have to look into. Now, the other thing, most of the time there is this common mistake that shingles are what makes a roof. Shingles is only a part of the roof. The roof is a system. There's many, many, many different components that make a roof work properly. So you could have the best shingle in the world, and if you have very bad ventilation, you're not really doing a good job on your roof or weatherproofing it. Having said that, you want to look at the slope of your roof. You want to see what do we need as eye shield membranes. Okay, do you need 3 feet? Do you need 6 feet? And do not look at, because a lot of roofers would mention the building code. I just want you to remember that the building code is a minimum requirement, okay? It's not the maximum requirement or it's a good practices. It's the minimum requirement for you to pass the law or to be within code, okay?
Thank you very much, Phil, for your question this morning. You're listening to the Home Improvement Show. This is CJAD Radio. And we're going to get to more calls around the corner on the Home Improvement Show. Right now, though, we're going to head over to the CJAD Traffic Center. Kira Yeager is taking a look at the drive. And a texter's gotten in touch with us, Kira, talking about a problem on the 13 northbound. What are you seeing? It's 9:19. You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD. My name is Tracy McKee, sitting in for Ken Connors. And today we have the other guy, Walter Massey of Renovco, to answer your home improvement questions. And we've got a number of people on the line. And if you have a question for some great free advice, give us a call, 514-790-0800. But before we get to, I believe, Carl, who's been waiting patiently on the line, we want to wish a very happy birthday to a very special someone this morning.
Oh, absolutely. My son, Jason, who's our junior Renovco captain, he's turning 8 today. And I just want to say happy birthday, son, and I love you very much. Aww. I'm sure he's listening. He's a big fan.
He's a big fan of the show, even when you're not on it.
Even when I'm not on it.
That's very exciting. I think he's got a future business in his sight. All right, we've got, I'm going to go to Carl here. Hopefully I'm picking Carl. Carl, is that you? Carl? Oh, Carl gave up. He didn't, he lost patience. All right, so we're going to go to Shelley. Hi, Shelley. What's your question for Walter?
Good morning, Walter. I have a question for you. At the cottage, we have a deck that has been stained years ago, and it's starting to wear and tear, and I'd like to paint it. Can you tell me, can I go from a stain to a paint?
Yeah, it's a good question. So it's all in the preparation. You should not paint on top of the existing stain as is. What you want to do is you want to do a light sanding.
Okay.
So make sure that you sand the floorboards. Yes. You open the boards of the wood, the spores of the wood, and after that you do a nice cleaning. You make sure it's dry. It's nice and dry. You don't do it during the day when it's hot and sunny. You do it early in the morning or late in the afternoon, and then you can apply your paint. So the quick answer would be yes, but after the proper preparation of the wood.
Do I need to put any type of primer on that?
If you do proper sanding, not necessarily no. Okay? Now you have certain type of paints, exterior paints that come in with all the compounds together, and you can apply this. There's just very good paints out there, which have all in one kind of product, so you don't need to do anything except just apply them. Just follow the instructions because. You see often that if you are going to apply multiple coats, if you apply it when the coats are not dry, then you're not going to have a great result at the end.
Okay.
So just make sure that you do the proper preparation. That's very important. That's where it all starts. And then if you are going to apply multiple coats, just make sure it's really dry in between.
And what product would you suggest on a deck that's outside?
I'm not going to they all have very good products. So, I mean, Benjamin Moore and Seiko, I'm not going to endorse one brand. If you go to their stores and you explain exactly what they're doing, because you have different grades as well. I like when it comes to paint, especially exterior, I like to go with the more superior paint. Because you don't want to really go ahead and do this every year and you want to have it withstand the weather nicely. So, there's just multiple good products out there.
Shelley, thank you so much for your call. We're going to go to Carl now. Carl, what's your question for Walter?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I had my roof redone with BP shingles this year, 50 years, so that should last a bit. My concern is the vent. They changed the vent, and as I walk along my street, I can see the top of the vent, the total top of the vent on all the other houses like mine, but on my house, I can't see it. Did they not put it up high enough? Is that an issue?
So you probably have the low-profile vent.
Okay.
It's not an issue, but, I mean, it's nothing that I personally would like to have on my roof. You know, the max vents typically that you want, you know, to have the higher ones and what have you. Because you want, you know, you don't want them to be impeded by snow or ice or any accumulation there. So you want to have that nice flow. I would call the roofer and see what's the story with that. It's code. So there's nothing wrong what he did, but it's just not. You know, there's different type of products, and he probably chose the low-profile one, which is not something that I personally like.
Okay, so it won't cause, I mean, you still ventilate the roof. It's not an issue. It's not going to make the roof sweat or anything like that?
Well, here's the thing. If it gets blocked, it depends where he placed them. So if he placed them in a valley or somewhere next to a valley where you have a lot of accumulation of snow, and that could plug it and impede the ventilation, then it becomes an issue. Typically, they're put at the top of the roof and there's no accumulation. But you can only tell that because if you have the type of roof that have multiple roof lines and you could, due to that, you have certain accumulations. And if the ventilation is installed in these areas, then it might cause you problems in these particular areas.
Okay.
Carl, thank you
very much.
Thank you very much for your call. We're going to go to Darcy. Hi, Darcy. What's your question for Walter?
Hello. I have a question concerning the comparison of BP shingles versus IKO shingles. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be re-roofing my my place in approximately a month, and full disclosure, it's in my interest to purchase BP because I make my living supplying ingredients to their plant. but it's my house and it's my investment.
Yeah.
And so I'm 53 years old and don't want to ever touch these things again. Mm-hmm. And so I've done some online research, and actually both companies are not getting very good reviews on the internet. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why are you limiting yourself to just these two companies, if I may ask?
Well, just because they're the common ones I know, but I did notice that there are other manufacturers. Mm-hmm. It's just that around here I've never seen any advertised, so I don't know. And okay. I do know that both of those plants are fairly local. One's in Hawkesbury, the other's in LaSalle.
Yeah. Okay. If you don't mind, we'll do traffic and I'll get back to you. So I will answer you a bit more in detail about that. Okay? Can you hold on?
Then.
You're going to hold on, Darcy. So we're going to put you on hold. And it is 9:26. We're going to get to more of your calls coming up here on the Home Improvement Show, 514-790-0800. It's 9:36 and you are listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD. I'm Tracy McKee filling in for Ken Connors. Walter Assey is here from Renovco. It's time now to get to the phones, and we have to get back to Darcy, who had that question about BP. And then Sunny, I promise you're next. Darcy, do you want to finish your conversation with Walter? Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, yeah. So we're talking about the BP.
Yeah, so just to go back to what you mentioned earlier, there are multiple manufacturers of shingles. You have, of course, BP, you have Timberline, you have Cambridge, IPO, IKO, and many, many more. They're all, most of them are fiberglass-based. So typically that old issue that happened with the BP shingles is not there anymore. But let's talk about the forms a bit. If you go and you read up on them, it's not necessarily always the shingle that is the problem. Sometimes it's just the bad workmanship, or it's just that there's other things that were not addressed. So a good roofer, typically what they would do, and you don't have to ask them to do these things, but you can just watch them do it. They have to check your attic. And believe me, I've seen 9 out of 10 roofers don't check your attic, okay? So they come for an inspection and they go on top of the roof and they give you a price on changing the shingles. And legally, the contract talks about just changing the shingles. If you want to have a successful job on the roof, you want to look at how much insulation do you have on the roof. So the new code is R50, R40 would be the minimum that you would want. You want to make sure that your soffits are continually unblocked, meaning you can't just have an area that is, blocked and the other ones unblocked, and that's fine. That's not fine. You want continuous ventilations around the roof, about minimum of 2 inches of air flow coming in. And from the soffits themselves, you want to avoid having those dormer ventilators that you have, those grills on both sides, because they don't work as well and it's not really a good practice. You want to make sure that you have an eye shield membrane that is adequate to the slope of your roof. You want to make sure that you have an eye shield membrane that is an adequate quality as well. And what I mean by that, if you take, for example, a Grace eye shield membrane, it's more expensive. But it usually would weld the nail of the roof once you have the shingle nail on it. So it works much better in cases of ice damming and water damming. And then it goes down to the installation of the shingle itself, okay? there is a way to install it. That's what makes a successful roof, plus the ventilators on top, obviously. If one of these systems would fail, it's not necessarily the shingle or BP or the manufacturer. It's really there's something that's happening in your roof that is not helping the life of the shingle.
When we purchased our house back in 93, we had ice dam issues 94, 95. And so I re-insulated the attic. And then in 2002, I re-shingled my roof. I did it myself with the help of my my father at the time and my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it. We put ice dam and knew that what we were doing was I put on 15-year BP shingles in 2002. And they're still on there. Now, they're finished.
Okay.
But the issue I've realized since then is my soffit ventilation is not adequate, mm-hmm. which that is part of the project that I'm going to be doing in a month about, is going through. I'm replacing, I'm putting soffit ventilation all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
The last shingles, we were having trouble hitting the same holes again and again, and the original sheathing on the roof with 3/8 plywood,
mm-hmm.
That's being replaced. And so what it comes down to is, as I said, I'm 53. I'm going to be doing it myself. I have experience in this, and my 15-year shingles are now 17 years old, and they've stood the test of time.
Mm-hmm.
They're past due.
All right, Darcy, I'm going to stop you there because I think Walter's answered your question. We got a lot of other people on the line, but thank you so much for your patience this morning and for asking that question.
Thank you, Darcy, a lot.
Okay, we've got Sunny on the line. Sunny, hi. What's your question for Walter?
Hi, how are you?
Very well, and thanks for your patience.
Thank you for taking my call. And hi, Walter.
Hi.
I have a question for... I have a semi-detached cottage house,
mm-hmm.
a basement, first floor, and second floor.
Mm-hmm.
The second floor, they have the washroom. When they open the sink, water, hot water and cold water, the water drips. I don't know if the water drips and it comes to the first floor and drips on the floor of the basement stairs. So what could be? I cut small piece of the ceiling.
Okay.
I checked and there's no leak at all. But when they didn't open the when they didn't use the sink,
mm-hmm.
There's no water leak. Only when they use the sink, only the water drips little by little.
Well, so when you say it drips, where does it drip exactly?
Drips through the exactly straight through the ceiling of the washroom.
Mm-hmm.
The second floor washroom.
Okay.
And comes through the first floor ceiling and drips to the bottom.
And you check the P-trap underneath to make sure that it's well well screwed, that it's not leaking or overflowing at all?
There's no overflowing, only drips.
Yeah, but if you go under the sink, you open the water and you go under the sink. Do you see condensation, or do you, when you look at the drain, do you see that the drain is dripping? Because sometimes it's just a question of...
No, nothing, nothing at all.
You've tried that?
Yeah, I tried that.
Okay. Okay, and...
maybe a humidity or something?
It could be condensation or humidity. It's very highly unlikely just humidity. Could be condensation, but what could also be is just bad usage of the sink. Do you have a backsplash on that sink?
Backsplash of the sink?
Yeah, meaning do you have anything that, like a lip on the countertop behind the sink? Because sometimes what we've seen in cases where clients would call in and say, we have a plumbing leak, and it was not really a plumbing leak. It was just that the tenant, the way they were using their sink, they were splashing water everywhere, and there was no protection behind the countertop. And no. Water was just seeping through that joint and then finding its way eventually to the lower floors. So
yeah, that's not the case.
That's
not the case because we don't spill the water on the top of the counter. Plus,
okay.
there's the blockage, the silicone cover on it.
Okay. It could be a drainage issue more than a plumbing issue. It could be a drainage issue more than a plumbing issue, because if it was a plumbing pipe that is bursted or you have an issue, it would be continuous even when you're not using the sink. So what you want to look at is the drains, and what you want to look at is the faucet itself. And that's pretty much what you could, you know, kind of zero in on. The other thing would be condensation, but that you could actually see if the pipes are sweating.
Sunny, thank you so much for your call. CJD time is 9:45. And you're listening to the Home Improvement Show. We'll get to more of your phone calls. Steve from Côte Saint-Luc, you're coming. We're coming for you just after this. But right now we have to take a look at the Saturday morning drive. And Kira Yeager is keeping her eye on it with a couple of problems and a couple of spots. Kira? And I'm Tracy McKee in for Ken Connors, and it's Walter Assey from Renovco in for Yannick this morning answering your questions. And I said, Steve in Côte Saint-Luc, we're coming for you. Here we are. What is your question for Walter?
Good morning, Tracy and Walter. Walter, I got a couple of questions for you with regarding building a deck. Question one is, what method would you prefer to support it? Technopost or technopuy, as they call it in Quebec, versus sonotube? And the other question is with regards to a composite material such as Azek that has no wood fiber in it. Do these products swell or contract with heat and cold?
I'm definitely going to go with a Technopuy. It's a very, very good technology. It works very well. Because, I mean, technically what you want to do is you want to go below the frost line. And that's exactly what the technology does. It doesn't work. It doesn't move. It's a fantastic product. You can actually build a home on Technopuy. It's that good. So, just what varies typically would be the size of the screw and everything else.
Okay.
But definitely. It's something that if you have any manual guys, you could do it yourself. Or you could, you know, do it with machinery. It's not rocket science, and it works. It's been proven it works under very heavy structures. So absolutely no problem with that.
Excellent.
The composite material with no fiber, with no wood fiber, is great for our weather. It doesn't work. It doesn't contract.
Okay.
That you'll have no issues with. The only thing is you want to go, you want to be careful with the colors, because some colors tend to overheat. But as a material by itself, it's great.
What colors would you stay away from?
I would go with the light colors. I would stay within the light color palette. The darker colors, they tend to overheat.
Okay,
sometimes.
Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve, very much for your call. We're going to go to Mike in DDO. Mike, what's your question for Walter? Mike in DDO?
Yes. Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm renovating my bathroom, and I want to move my toilet from one side of the bathroom to the other. And I've gotten mixed recommendations on how to do that. In order to be able to move that toilet, I need to drill holes through the joists for the drain pipe. And, I've had plumbers come in and say, yeah, no problem. And then I've had carpenters come in and say, they're not comfortable doing that because it's not the code. I read on the web that in Canada, I think you're allowed only like 20% of the joist width to drill a hole. And my joist is like 10 inches wide. It's a 2x10. So that gives me, I think, less than 3 inches. So I just wanted to know what your opinion was, Walter, on how to do this and if I need to reinforce that joist.
That's a great question.
Joists,
yeah,
because I think I've got four joists, four maybe five joists I need to drill through.
Okay, so the first thing you want to look at is not just what you're allowed to drill into a joist, is what type of joists you have. Because you do have the newer type of floor joists that you could do holes into the pressed wood. They're engineered for that. If you have the older type joist, which I think that's what you have right now, what you want to look at is the span of the joist. You want to look at how much distance you have between each floor joist, because sometimes if you don't have enough distances, that makes the that makes it even more fragile. So it's really, when it comes to structure, it's many things that we look at the same time. How close are we to a supporting structure? You know, at what lengths as well. Now, having said that, definitely where you don't want to notch a joist, like the worst thing you could do is to notch it on the peripheries, meaning at the top or the bottom. If you absolutely need to go to through a joist after you've done your proper due diligence, you want to try to go in the middle of the floor joist and not close to the ends, because that makes it extremely weak and in certain cases even useless. If you have any doubts and the carpenters are not feeling, because I mean, I would listen more to a carpenter than to the plumber in this case. They understand structure much more than the plumbers. But if you're absolutely in doubt of what should be done, you could always go below that and build a bulkhead. I know it's not pretty, but it will make sure that your house doesn't move or create for you any structural issues.
Thank you so much for your call. We're going to go to Rona in Montreal West. Hi, Rona. What's your question for Walter?
Hi. We have an oil tank that we were told by the insurance company has to be replaced because it's 10 years old or they won't insure us. But the tank is in good condition, so we don't know what to do. Like, we have to change it, and if we do, what's the best place to get one?
Okay. The way it works with hot water tanks is that they do have an expiry date. So
it's an oil tank.
You mean oil hot water tank, right? Oh, sorry, oil tank. Okay, sorry. I just thought that you're talking about a hot water tank that is oil. So,
No, it's an oil tank.
And the oil tank is only 10 years old, you said?
Yes.
Okay, that is a bit exaggerated demand, a bit of an exaggerated demand, because 10 years is a very short span. Have you tried to call other insurance companies?
And I'll tell you why.
Because some insurance carriers do not like to insure homes with oil tanks, period, regardless of the age of the tank. Others are more tolerant and they have a bit more of an aggressive program. So sometimes it's their way of telling you go somewhere else, but without telling you to go somewhere else. If you have a do you have a broker, an insurance broker?
Yes, thank you.
So do call your broker and ask them, because that's a very expensive demand that they're doing for a not very well valid reason.
So, Rona, there's the answer to your question, and I want to thank you very much. Jeff and Mario, we couldn't get to your calls this morning on the Home Improvement Show, but as you know, we do this each and every Saturday morning from 9 to 10, so please call back, or you can always reach out to Walter at Renovco or Yannick on his website to ask them your question. This has been the Home Improvement Show on CJAD. Thank you very much, Walter, for
your time, Tracy.
Here this morning, and happy birthday to your beautiful boy.
Thank you.
8 years old today. Have fun at that birthday party. And we've got the
that you're back as well.
Oh, thank you, Walter. And we've got the car show coming up with Lisa Christensen after this.